Welcome to episode 70 of The Bull Run, the official podcast for snooker professional Stuart Bing. This content is sponsored by renovation specialists R&J Carpentry and Construction, and it's a show in which I, sports journalist James Colasanti, ask the man nicknamed Bull Run about recent results, life on tour, and life in general. Just one small piece of housekeeping before we start today about production. I've published the first 69 episodes on this podcast under the Cogito PR brand name, but I've now closed that and I'm instead producing freelance editorial content like this under my new By James Colasanti brand. I'm sure that's just about the most boring thing you'll hear today. But anyway, there it is. Good morning, mate. How are you today?
All good. Michelle's just left for London to take the kids, so I've got a nice peaceful morning.
You lucky man. Mine are downstairs arguing over what they're going to do. She's trying to drag her off the sofa. But yeah, anyway. Listen, before we get underway, I always ask Stuart if he's got any nice photographs to go with, go as the podcast episode image, sort of candid shots on that. And he sent over a lovely one. It's you. It stood in, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think it's Storm on it. It's one of the civic buildings out there, and obviously you can see it with the show, but there's four guys stood in the background, and I said we give them a name check. Who are they, mate?
You've got Johnny Hayward, obviously, and Richard Hayward, who's R&J Carpentry.
Right, brilliant.
They come with me. You've got Anton, who works for them. And you've got Lee, who's one of the dads at the football where Shay plays at Whitford Town. So, it was put together sort of a couple of weeks ago, and all had a good day, and I only come over for the day.
Right.
Got a bit messy at the end. But
I was going to say, it looks a bit boys on tour. Was there a few Guinnesses flowing, or what was the story?
Yeah. It was a bit naughty, really, because obviously they come the morning of my game and they're all drinking and I couldn't.
Right, so yeah, they look like they're having a good time. Right, you were like designated driver, were you? And they were just they were on the sauce. Oh, brilliant! Oh, good. I hope they had a good time.
One.
Normally we tackle your table time in chronological order, but I thought today we'd mix it up a little bit and go from most recent to the oldest. And that means, of course, we start with your participation in last week's Northern Ireland Open in Belfast, of course. You started with a solid 4-1 win over Scott Donaldson. You claimed your ninth win against the Scottish star in your 12 matches with him. You followed that up with a 4-0 win over your good friend, regular practice partner Mark Davis. Similar to the match with Donaldson, you only made one half century, but you controlled the action to claim a win. And that put you 14-13 up against Mark in your career head-to-head. And then came a cracker of a last 16 clash against the man you beat to win your Crucible Crown 9 years ago, Sean Murphy. Just briefly, he came back from 3-1 down to level and then won an exciting decide on the black, very decent clearance. It was a match that featured 3 tons, 450s, and it was a fitting contest between two former world champions. But I've no doubt it was a little consolation to you when the dust settled. So what was your take on that match, mate?
Yeah, it's just sort of summed up my sort of last sort of 4 or 5 events. I'm playing really well, and I'm just getting beat by someone who just played that little bit better on the day. Even I was at the airport, I was with Martin O'Donnell, who obviously just both got beat, we was next to each other when we was playing. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm here. I'm like, I played really well.
Yeah.
I should be sort of going to bed, sort of getting ready for my sort of quarterfinal match.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things that's happening at the moment. Obviously, Sean's pulled out a sort of good clearance from the last two reds. And obviously, in that last frame, I was on a break of 60 when the reds didn't finish on nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of one of those things that seems to be happening at the moment. I've got to try and keep riding the wave of playing well.
Yeah.
Hopefully it will soon click for me.
Yeah, that's it. You can see that you're playing well in your games there, but just on the wrong end of the deciders. I suppose we've spoken about this for years about this kind of thing. I said it was no consolation, but is it a slight consolation just to know your game is there and just to know that it's not a case of you walk away and just think I've played badly? It's just one of those days sort of thing, yeah?
It's simple as that. It's sort of like you say, it don't matter after the result. You could have got beat 4-0 or 4-3 on the black. It's still the same result. But yeah, it's good to know that the game is there. It's just frustrating that I just need that little bit of extra, I know, run of the ball or just that sort of that maybe bit of luck that he misses something in the balls, and leaves me in. But that's just all it seems to it needs to do at the moment. Just got to get on with the next one and hopefully the best.
The event itself, your TW Sports Management stable mate, Kyron Wilson, he won the event with a, it was a comprehensive victory over world number one, Judd Trump. I know Judd kind of rallied a bit at the end, but Kyron really sort of put him to the sword. Kyron's 32 years old, he's the reigning world champ. He appears to really be truly realising his potential. I just wonder, do you think he can win what he's turned into a bit of a battle to be snooker's main man, perhaps in the decade ahead?
Yeah, definitely. He's that sort of player. You can see, he obviously, he's won the Worlds, and he's obviously won his second event since then. So, yeah, he don't care who he plays. He's every week he's up there. He's got a chance of winning any tournament he plays in. Same as Judd. So I think at the moment it's them two firing it off, sort of thing. So it's just, yeah, obviously going to be good for the game, good for himself. Good for obviously the team that we're in, TW Sports Management. So, he's sort of coming of age, obviously, from his win in the world.
He seems like he's got a nice personality. He's got a nice family man. He's a nice guy, and he's a good sort of character and a good kind of, I guess, role model for the sport as well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I could say a few other things, but I can't. he's good. Obviously, him and his brother, yeah, good crack on tour, and good laugh, and obviously, yeah, good, like, had his mum there. It was really, really nice. Obviously, talking to them both and all that. So, it's all good.
Nice one. Now, listen, the action in Belfast also saw you rack up your 600th career century. According to the stats I found on it, it puts you 11th overall in the list of players with the most tons. Unsurprisingly, you're in great company. From memory, I think you're still fourth on the most 147s list too. I think you've got nine, I'm not certain about that. And, you know, I mean, these stats might not come with a trophy, but they're very noteworthy. And I just wondered, how much do these milestones mean to you? And are they something you're aware of, you know, like being on 599 tons, for example?
Yeah, I didn't know how many I was on. I knew I was close to 600, but when you see like Judd and John Higgins making 1,000, I was like, oh, how many I'm on? And then all of a sudden I looked, I'm on like 594 or something. I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
And then you see other people notch up 400s, 500s.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's nice. It's like you say, it's a milestone. It's obviously, like you say, 29 years on tour, and like you say, it's a record to be proud of. So I did obviously put on my Instagram post that obviously not as good as some people, but like for me, it's a great achievement.
Yeah, just on the list when I was looking down to it, I tell you what I found interesting was Steve Davis was down there. He's between 300 and 400. I think it was maybe 369. I haven't got the number in front of me. There's loads of variables, his length of career, there's what's going on and stuff like that. But the thing with the high scoring, it doesn't always translate into, I mean, obviously with him it does, but it doesn't always necessarily translate into trophies. Sometimes it does. It's just an interesting sort of overview of a career, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, like you say, obviously you can mention there, like Steve Davis, obviously the game's changed over the decades, and obviously Hendry brought it to maybe probably where it is today, like the break building side of it all.
Yeah,
and you've got obviously the likes of Ronnie taking it to a new level. It just shows you how tough this game is. When you've got not just one, you've got now three people in the thousands. And obviously when Hendry got to his 775, I think, obviously he's had a couple more since. It just shows you the sort of the evolution of the game, how it's changed.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there's an interesting piece there, something doing, you know, safety and tying up and just how it's evolved and how the sport's evolved. But,
yeah.
Anyway, well done, mate. 600. What do you reckon you get to? Go on, this closest to pin. How many do you think you're going to finish?
It'd be nice to, like you say, get to 700.
Yeah.
If I'm making, I don't know, sort of 20 a year, whatever, 20, 30 a year. I'm not sure what the most I've had in the season is, but with all the tournaments we're playing, I'd say that's maybe probably capable. Another maybe probably 4 or 5 seasons left in me, hopefully.
I think it's the 147s that tells the story with you. You know, the 600 is it's no accident. You score big, don't you? You go in, you like to fill your boots, basically, don't you? And and I think that 147 is that must be nice for you, just sort of being in that kind of company. It really does show that, you know, the skill set is really there, sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, look, that's my game. I'm a break builder, and like I say, I've sort of grown up watching the likes of Davis and Hendry, and obviously practicing when I was younger with Ronnie and people like that. Yeah, my game was revolved around break building and try and win frames and matches by sort of break building. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously had 9 147s. I think Judd's on 8. I think Murphy might be on 8. So there's a few right behind me. So obviously if I can get to 10, that'd be a really a nice getting the double figures. Obviously, at one stage, it looked like I was going to had a chance of maybe catching Ronnie, but it's all dried up.
Yeah.
I did have one in an exhibition in Grimsby just before Northern Ireland. So first one I've had in a good while, to be fair.
Oh, yeah.
So
nice one. Was it all controlled or a bit streaky? Or good?
Yeah, no, yeah. Obviously, second frame of the night. Yeah. Table was quite hard work as well, so it was maybe worth two, really.
Yeah.
Thank you. The second frame.
Since the last episode, you've also competed at the 2024 British Open. You stuck with a 4-0 win over rookie Belisco Reves for a 4-3 defeat to fellow veteran Stephen Maguire. What was your take on that match, mate? And result aside, did you enjoy the trip to Cheltenham?
Yeah, like you say, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. Bolshu.
Reves. To you. Yeah, Hungarian. Yeah. We decided before. Yeah. It seems like an interesting character. He's sort of part of this new wave Eastern Europe, and
he's good player. He's getting results, and he's got a bit of a swagger about him as well. So it's good to see. Good to see on tour. Yeah, he's had a couple of good wins. So I knew I was in for a tough game, and sort of just. Maybe probably schooled him a bit, really. Invited him to the back row and he didn't know what to do. But, obviously, good win over him. And then, obviously, come up against Steve Maguire. Had every chance, got beaten, decider. A bit frustrated at the end.
Yeah, you mentioned, like, with the Murphy one, this is what you were thinking of. It's just on the end of these, these decider defeats. It could easily go either way, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like I say, I had my chances. I can't moan. Just didn't happen, and it's like you say, it was getting a bit more frustrated. I was a bit more acceptable with the Murphy game because I didn't really do a lot wrong with the Maguire game. I had my chances and messed up myself, so that was a bit more frustrating. So it's just, like I say, it was again played okay. Just when it come to the crunch, obviously couldn't sort of handle it or whatever, but. It's never been kind for me, Cheltenham. So to win a match or two, it was nice. But felt like I could have gone on another few more rounds after that. But it just wasn't meant to be.
Please check the volume of our earpieces. One of them are very loud. Thank you.
Brings us on to a light-hearted section that we've weaved into the show in recent months. It's Carla's ever so clever question. And of course it's a question for my journalistic powerhouse of a wife, Carla. She's called it in a bit this month as far as I'm concerned, but she's currently downstairs hoovering in the front room trying to get our teenage daughter off her arse during the school half term. But over a coffee this morning, she asked me to ask you, what is the funniest thing that's ever happened to you during a match that you've played in, perhaps involving an audience member, a referee or an opponent?
29 years has been a long thing.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't know. What?
You're quite good on the table. I've seen you. I've seen you mess up. You're talking about a hair on the table and the base the other week and this, that, and the other. You often have a laugh, right? And snooker can be like that. It can break the tension, can't it? I suppose.
I don't know, you ever had a loon
in the crowd who's sort of, you know, done one of the, I don't know, you should call out or have to be restrained. You tell me. I don't know. A weird ref. I imagine there's been so many.
There's been so many. I can't remember the guy's name, the ref. I remember he was marking, and I asked the ref to clean the white, but I actually looked at the ref who was marking.
Right.
And I've gone, oh, can you clean the white? And he actually got up to clean the white, but he was marking.
Right.
and then he sort of realised what happened.
Yeah.
And then I started laughing.
Yeah.
Because he went to get up, and he was like, sort of like, swearing at me for like trying to get him involved or something like that. I could easily sort of dip out of concentration and have a light-hearted sort of laugh about things. I remember at the Crucible my first time after I beat Hendry, I played Jimmy and I farted.
No, what did they get it?
I think the front two rows got the whistle.
Right. Love that.
And I remember Iron Williams. Yeah. He was reffing.
Yeah.
And obviously, I remember going back to my chair. I farted.
Yeah.
Played a shot.
Yeah.
And it was foul and a miss.
Right.
And then I stood back in my stood back to the chair, and I see Jimmy just move away from the chair. And he looked at me. He went, "Was that you?" I went, "Oh, I'm sorry." And then the ref caught it and he moved to the other side.
Right.
So.
Oh, that is so brilliant. Oh, I love that. Deploying.
But silent but deadly ones.
Yeah, the whirlwind, you got him. No, nice. Oh, good. That'll definitely cheer her up. Oh, believe me, I can't obviously dig my wife out about flatulence on there. That will be the end of my marriage. But yeah, good work, mate. I think you've nailed it. So, finally, I look ahead to what is coming up, and that's the International Championship for you and a trip to China. A 6-0 qualifying win over Scotland's Liam Graham has set up a clash with Thailand's Tepacha Uno. Where do you fly out, mate, and are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm flying tomorrow. I'm on the same flight as Kyron and Taylor, so be good company flying over to there.
Yeah.
I think I play Monday morning, I think I look, so... need to get on there on the time zone pretty quick. I was out there literally 10-12 days ago for the Chinese pool, so hopefully there's still a bit of Chinese time left sort of still with me, so I ain't going to take too much sort of days to get used to the time zone, but yeah, looking forward to it. Tep Chai, he's obviously a class act in himself. It's going to be a tough game, but hopefully I can continue my form and who knows.
With China, you often weave in a bit of, you know, the social, like you say, the exhibitions, all that kind of stuff. Have you got any sort of plans, bit of an extended stay, or, you know, is it just a case of go in and do your stuff and come home?
Yeah, just obviously the 1 week there, so nothing on after. Mm. So, yeah, see how it goes. So, obviously international was one of the biggest ones in China, so should be a good tournament. Obviously, being a best of 11s as well gives you a chance to get involved in the game. So looking forward to hopefully a good run.
Yeah, just finally on that, you know, these the Murphy game was brilliant, but you know, best of 7, you feel like it's an appetizer almost. And you've said about that before, the wham bam can be a bit of a problem. But you know, best of 11, do you feel that perhaps sort of suits you a bit better?
Yeah, like you say, obviously, I'm saying that I've done well in sort of all tournaments. So I've had a couple of wins doing the best of 7. So it's on the day. It, like you say, obviously made a couple of tons in that match with Murphy. And normally, like you say, you get to 3-1, you can just sort of roll over the line. But when you're playing another top player, that obviously... no one really thinks that 3-1 down now is a mountain to climb. It's sort of, before you know, it's 3-1 and pressure's on both players sort of thing. But with the longer, you go 5-1, that's near enough all over and done with. But it's obviously horses for courses, as they say.
Yeah, it's what it is. Great stuff. Well, it only remains for me to say thank you for your time today, Stuart, and to wish you the best of luck for the action in China.
Thanks, James. Cheers.